I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Welcome. This is Tar Heel 24/7, a USC basketball podcast. Make sure to like, share, subscribe to TarHeel247.com on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. As you know, this is day two of the coaching search. So I want to welcome in CBS Sports college basketball analyst Isaac Trotter. Are you ready? This is like monumental historical times. Like this, don't take this for granted.
Yeah, this is a little different times, right? Like, it's supposed to be March Madness, but like, I think college basketball, the calendar's been pretty good, right? Like, we have great Sweet 16 games tonight, and then the calendar for the coaching carousel has just been nuts. So, good spot for college basketball, and we'll see what Carolina has up its sleeve here.
So, you know, just to start off before we get into the nitty gritty, how attractive is this job from a national perspective? I'm biased. I think it's the best job in the country. Has USC lost its luster, as some of the national pundits have said, or is the brand still strong?
Yeah, I don't know if I would put like the whole idea that they've lost their luster seems odd to me. It's a situation where Carolina is basically saying that, hey, we're the best job in the market. And if they think that they're the best job in the country and they're the best job in the market, I think that they're going to be able to go out and flex their muscles here.
Yeah.
Like you kind of have to put your money where your mouth is. And so like you have like this whole cachet of like, hey, we're the best job in college basketball. If that's the case, you can back it up in the next, you know, week to 10 days by bringing in one of the biggest names on the board. So I don't think it really matters what national pundits think about it, because like the proof will be in the pudding here in probably the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think it's obviously one of the most most attractive jobs in the country. I mean, you're getting a coach. You're getting to start a new era, right? We've always been in the family. We've always, you know, come up from this Dean Smith kind of, you know, coaching tree per se. So, and I've heard people have called like, hey, look, talk to me. What are we doing? Like, what's going on? So it'll be interesting. And just for perspective, I don't even know this, but like at Carolina, we have to like lock up the equipment room. Like it's like Fort Knox, because so many people want gear and shoes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, you can call it what you want, but like, I don't know many programs having like, you know, monitor their equipment room because it could be raided at any point in time.
Yeah. That's a little different experience than for other people. And, you know, I think the thing that like, I've just kind of been thinking about over the last like few days, ever since the news went by, like the longer this time goes on, I think Carolina has clearly made the right decision. Like, think of the names that they put themselves in here, right? And, you know, I was kind of looking at some of the numbers. the last 5 years under Hubert Davis, they've basically been averaging like a 6 or 7 seed when he made the tournament. Mm-hmm. And based on KenPom, their finish, like he basically was like 26 nationally when you factor in the last 5 years of where he finished. Like Carolina doesn't want to be in the 26th, the best team in the country neighborhood. So like the fact that like they made this move, I think it was really smart to make this move when they did. And now you can go big fish hunting. And like it just, the more I've sat on it, the more I'm just like, this was the right move for Carolina at the right time. And now you have to go out and obviously execute it. But, you know, obviously they have huge, huge names here on the board.
Yeah. I'm super intrigued what direction they go. I mean, there's so many options, but also there's a lot of money involved with buyouts and things of that nature. Have you heard anything interesting kind of before we break down, maybe, because we're going to deep dive into the targets, but is there a guy that you've heard or that you would think should be at the top of the list for Carolina?
It's a good question. I look at two. If money was no object and I knew I could get him, I think Dusty May at Carolina would smash. I think that would be one of those type of additions that like Duke starts going like, all right, like we better take them really, really seriously. Dusty at Carolina versus Shire at Duke would be high level every year. He is a stone cold killer. He recruits the transfer portal at an extremely high level by any means necessary. He will get the guys that he wants. And I think the quality of play has been excellent as well too. Like the type of cutting edge stuff that he does is excellent. So he would be my A1 alpha target. I still think though that like Tommy Lloyd is certainly in that mix too. Like if you exit this coaching carousel with Tommy Lloyd or Dusty May, that's an A++++ hire. And I think the one thing interesting that we've heard early in this is that like there's some real ties from Tommy Lloyd and Roy. Like that's a real thing. And so like Roy was really close with Mark Few. Mark Few obviously was really close with Tommy Lloyd. It doesn't take a rocket science to connect those dots. So if that's real and that comes to fruition, I think Tommy Lloyd would be somebody that like we're looking at as like, yeah, like he can elevate Carolina into that top five tier nationally every single year.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, Tommy Lloyd hired Steve Robinson, who recruited me at UNC, which 100% that's got to be a Coach Williams kind of like connection type, look out for my guy type situation. So, you know, deep diving into like coaching targets, right? Target 24/7 reports that camps for Tommy Lloyd and Dusty May have contacted UNC. So those are two guys that we see as potential candidates. Also, Billy Donovan has personally expressed interest in the job, but UNC hasn't reciprocated. Now, look, let's have some respect, Carolina. We never know what can happen. So what do you think about the Billy Donovan situation?
It's interesting. You know, I'm pretty much in the camp that like the new era of college basketball is actually good for Billy Donovan. I think the old days of like having to spend, you know, 3 years like recruiting a kid in high school and kind of knowing the whole camp is over. It's a 3 week thing now, a 3 week sprint. Like it's a Zoom call. You show the same type of like Zoom that you have for everybody with like the pitch. It's the money and it's the role. And hey, I coach in the NBA and hey, I won 2 national championships. Do you want to play here? Like it doesn't have to be like that crazy. So I think that like Billy Donovan should be interested in this job. I think Carolina just like, I think they would probably prefer to hire a sitting college coach. I think that just makes more sense optics wise. But if Billy Donovan's like someone that they pivot to, if Dusty doesn't work or you know, say Grant McCaslin doesn't come through or Tommy Lloyd doesn't come through, I think he'd be able to crush it, honestly. I think immediately he would put himself near the top of like the top X's and O's guys in all of college basketball. And if you give him the right front office, I just have a hard time seeing him fail.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. Like I'm so intrigued because right. Do you feel like with the front office right now, we have a front office. So have you heard anything or do you feel like that it would be up to the coach to keep the GM or the front office guys? Or is that kind of just something that you think UNC just say, look, that'll stay intact? Because I know for a fact that Tommy Lloyd, Dusty May, TJ Osterberger, these guys that we're looking at, they're going to want their own show. Now, they'll bridge some gaps, but I feel like having a GM just from the programs I've seen, is a big deal because of the working relationship and how they have to be so interconnected.
Yeah, no question. You know, I think that's like maybe the one biggest misconception that fans don't really understand between college and the NBA is like, in the NBA, the GM and the coach are peers for the most part. Yeah. And in the college game, it's very different. The college coach hires the GM. Yeah. The GM works for the college coach. It's not a peer situationship, right? Like that's just, we just kind of know how that works. I would be curious how that works out. I don't think Billy Donovan would be opposed to keeping the current, you know, GM in place there with what Carolina has, but I'm sure he has connections. It wouldn't be that hard. I still think that if you get Billy Donovan, you probably have to pitch him on like, hey, here's a big front office type of group that we have set up that could work well together for you. That's just my opinion. But I do agree with you that like if Dusty comes in, there's going to be a change in leadership at GM. If Tommy Lloyd came in, there would be a different GM come in. They're going to keep some of their guys intact there and kind of be the status quo. That's, I mean, they turned Arizona and Michigan into monsters. Why broke? Or if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, look what they – I'd be interested to see too, like, you know, obviously rosters and money is just so like skewed. Like some people say Kentucky had $20 million. Mark Pope says, no, we didn't have $20 million. So – I wonder what Dusty May and Tommy Lloyd were looking at numbers-wise, because if Carolina can't provide that and more, I think they – why would they be – I mean, listen, love Chapel Hill, but Tucson – I didn't go to Tucson because I was like, I don't know if I can focus out here. So you take that for what it's worth. So do you think that UNC is going to increase the financial kind of – dealings and things they got going on to get one of those guys?
I think they.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Have to.
Yeah.
I think you just kind of have to if you're going to get into these waters. Like if you want a big dog, you got to pay for it, right? Like, and that's the type of mindset that Carolina certainly has to operate in. And, you know, I do think that like, just understanding how the finances work would be a benefit for May and for, you know, a guy like Lloyd. Like, I think we all kind of understand that like a $3 million freshman gets you a really, really good freshman, right? Like you're going to, it's hard to flop as a $3 million freshman, but in the portal, $3 million doesn't always go that as far. Right. And so I think Billy Donovan kind of like, if he was the guy, like he kind of have to learn that on the fly a little bit again and kind of readjust his mind to stuff like that, where Dusty May and guys like Grant McCaslin, guys like Tommy Lloyd would already know that. But yeah, from a financial perspective, I just don't think you get rid of Hubert if you're not ready to give a serious, serious windfall to the next coach and give him literally, I mean, name your number. We will do whatever it takes. Because that's like the one subplot, I think, with college basketball right now. There's a lot of people being like, well, the cap and how much of the cap do I get, blah, 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 rev share, all of these things. There's a lot of other coaches that are like, I don't care what the rev share is. Like, we're going to find a way to get it done, whatever, by any means necessary.
Yeah. You know, I'm really close with the GM, you know, personally. And, you know, I talk about his numbers and the thing that a lot of the GM bring up, not necessarily in the top tier schools, are the big boys are overpaying and they're messing up the market. Right. So, you know, for example, his example he kind of gave was like, okay, Isaac, you're sitting around and you see a guy in the corner with a big chain on, flashing money, you know, and then he's like, come on over here, well, you're going to run his pockets. He's showing you his cards, right? He's got money and he's willing to overpay. When you look at some of these schools, like that are like I don't know, like if Nebraska or Iowa has the most robust budget, but they're in the Sweet 16, right? Houston coach Sampson already told you, listen, we don't have as much money as you think we have, right? And so I think that's also an issue. And also as a coach, you know, you've got to be able to will and deal. Like you don't, just like the NBA, you've got to find steals in the free agency market. You can't just walk in a free agency, unless you're the LA Dodgers, and say, hey, look, like I'll pay you whatever you want. I'll pay you whatever. That does not work in the long run, which we've kind of seen, right?
Right.
Kate Tyson, you know, Kyan Evans, we paid a lot of money to, right? You don't just go out there and say, hey, we're going to be the highest bidder. You try to find the best value for your buck, which the Blue Bloods apparently, from what I hear, aren't doing. They're just throwing bags out. So how do you feel about that? Or have you heard kind of how do you feel about that situation?
No, it's fair. And I think that's what like separates like the elite teams from the, you know, the mediocre or the good teams, because like there's good teams that are, there's rosters out there that are $10 million. Like I look at Washington had really good money this year, well over $10 million, but the pieces just like didn't really work. That's why I go back to like Dusty May at Michigan has good money, but like he took real risks with that roster. People were crushing him for a Daymara, Merez Johnson, and Yaxel Lendeborg when they were together. They were crushing him for, you know, going after Elliot Cadeau and basically telling Trey Donaldson, hey, we're okay if you dip. Right? Like that was a legit thing that happened. Elliot Cadeau committed, the next day Trey Donaldson decommitted. That was very much similar. So like he took risks like that because he had like conviction about like what he believed that this team could turn into. Like that's the type of like those kind of chess moves that can elevate you from a good team with a good roster with the real money into like, hey, our $12 million guys are outplaying their draft slot, or our $12 million roster is outplaying their what they're being paid. And so like Yaxel Lindborg got paid a lot. Like, I think it was over $3 million. He has played like a $4 or $5 million player this year. And those are the types of like wins on the margins that are like so important all the way down the roster. Can your $500,000 guy play like an $800,000 guy? Can your $1 million guy play like a $1.5 million guy? And I think that's what Dusty has done really, really well. And same thing goes for Tommy Lloyd, which is why, you know, those two guys continue to be like, hey, like I'd do whatever it takes to get one of those two in the building.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at, you know, we shouldn't be surprised what Dusty did. You look at his FAU roster. Vlad Golden is an NBA player. He's rostered. Elijah Martin is also rostered on the NBA. Jonell Davis was actually the most coveted prospect, right? Went to Arkansas, didn't pan out. Oh, by the way, Nick Boyd was on that roster as well. So when you look back at it, like, was it really a shock that he went to the Final Four? Like, when you kind of take – zoom out, like I'm looking at the roster, I'm just like, wow, like how and Trey Carroll, like it's crazy.
You took the word out of my mouth. I would say Trey Carroll had an awesome year at Xavier, and I think that's what it also goes back to. It's just like player development is important and in-game coaching is important, but I think more and more ever it's like roster management and like understanding how to scout.
Yep.
And like your eye for talent, I feel like, is the differentiator. And you know, like if we're going through May's history, like he has a lot of like, you know, he has a lot of major, major wins as a scouter and an evaluator. Like being able to evaluate is so important. And the same thing goes for Tommy Lloyd. And like, that's the other thing with Tommy Lloyd that I look at too, is like, he's recruited so many different avenues. He's been good in international. He's been good in high school, recruiting five-star caliber type of guys. He's been good in the transfer portal. Like it's not just like one trick ponies who got lucky with, you know, not to bring up, I'm just thinking about it today because of like the Will Wade news, but like Matt McMahon's entire career was based off John Morant, right? Like he probably only has that job at LSU because like he got John Morant on his team, and that's an awesome win, right? No question. I'm not taking that away from him. But like when you have sustained success recruiting multiple different avenues and you're able to get guys from different places, like that might speak more to your like long-term like potential as a coach because you've shown it in so many different ways.
Well, you brought it up. I didn't want to say
nothing. I set you up right for it.
We're going to veer off right now before we get to Otzelberger, who just denied public, but we're going to veer off because we can, you know, and it's, you know, it's a UNC podcast and we don't like those guys down there. The Will Wade situation, I'm going to give you my synopsis or my view of the situation. And actually, I talked to a couple coaches about it as well. What? Why? What's going on with that? Well, yeah, talk to me about that move.
Every man for himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cold world right now. Every man for himself. If you kind of look at some of like his timeline, it's LSU in 2022, takes a year off, McNeese in 2024, NC State in 2025, and now he'll head back to LSU in 2026. I don't want to hear a single sentence from Tommy Tuberville about like, oh, one athlete should only transfer once. Like that bill that he introduced is like ridiculous. It looks horrible on a day like today. Yeah. When you're going to have a coach that now has three different teams in three different years, wild. It's just wild. And a lot of his stuff kind of ring hollow on a day like today when you leave a program like that. And I think LSU is going to give him a bag. And I think he's probably going to have an awesome $12, $13, $14 million roster next year. And they're probably going to win a lot of basketball games.
Yep.
But like at what cost?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I fall in it.
Yeah. You know, you hate it for the administration because they did have a home run hire. But, you know, I'd heard some rumblings that him and the AD weren't getting along. I mean, to be honest with you, for a guy to do this, there had to be some inner workings that we haven't seen that he's not happy with, because this makes no sense, right? Whether it's NC State saying, hey, we're not going to give you more money, which probably could have been the issue. But I heard the same thing. I heard that LSU was going to give him enough money to play with. I heard Lane Kiffin's way over budget, and they're just like, you know what? We're all in. We're going to give you what you need to be good. And another thing that I didn't even look at it like this, that I heard from a couple coaches was like, look, when you're in the ACC, I don't care what you do, who you are. It's Duke, UNC, Louisville, we'll throw Virginia in there. Like, you know, yes, you could turn it around and change the narrative, but you're never going to leapfrog the Dukes and the UNCs for one. It just is what it is. And so you're working at a disadvantage from a point of a coach. Like, how are you going to get these, like, if you're bringing a kid in, he's being recruited by all three schools, you're never going to get that kid, in my opinion, you know, who knows?
Yeah, right? No, I think that's fair. And I think your first point too about like the internal like struggle or maybe frustration is true. I heard some of the same things. Yeah. And it was like early. It's like early in the process, you're already having some of these things. So it felt like, you know, maybe NC State's house wasn't in order. Maybe what they pitched wasn't what he actually got, stuff like that. Like, and all of those things, it's like it feels like that should have been kind of handled out and hammered out well before you signed the contract. So I come down on it as like, look, this is everybody for themselves at this point. It's a dog eat dog world type of deal. And like, you have to honestly just kind of go take care of your money. I still think NC State could probably get a good coach in there. Like for me, like Josh Schertz, I think would be my number one target for NC State. I think he'd probably do a pretty good job there, but you know, some of the antics that he's pulled in the last Will Wade has pulled in the last 365 days, like he's going to be hated. He is the college basketball villain right now. And like, he's earned every bit of it.
And look, he's going right down to LSU. You know, LSU respectfully is a very sketchy place in general, right? They got Lane Kiffin. I love him as a coach, but that they didn't necessarily do a personality, moral hire for football either. So they want to win games, and they're okay with hiring the shake. Cause I mean, Will Wade had him rolling, and now the guy that, I mean, he stayed to the first tournament win. I mean, a national sensation essentially with the manager. Like, he's like, we're going to bring him in again. So, hey, look, get your money, Will Wade. Still love you as a coach. Glad you're not in the ACC either. Cause I'm not going to lie to you, I think he could have got that thing rolling given the right resources. So, I mean, on paper, he fielded a hell of a team this year.
Yeah, I mean, they made the tournament, right? Like, so, like, they're, I mean, they're, and I think the other thing, too, though, is that, like, they wanted more. Like, he was pitching like this was going to be a top 25 team. Like, he thought that, like, this team could be, like, good, and they were kind of mediocre. So, it's just, like, it's different. You know, I think I think your another point, too, is it just kind of shows where your hierarchy is. And unfortunately, right now in the ACC, there are haves and there are have-nots, and there's a lot of people in the middle. And the middle is probably going to be pretty murky. So if we want to steer it back to Carolina, it's like not that hard for a new coach to come in, I don't think, next year in this version of the ACC and be like, okay, my floor is probably fourth if I have a decent competition roster, right? You're fourth. with the guys you talk about, with Duke, with Virginia, and Carolina's in that mix. Who else would we throw in there? Louisville, right? Like, mm-hmm. and Miami. Miami's probably in that mix too. But like, yeah. that's your floor is probably fifth.
But even in Miami, right? Like Jay Lucas did a great job this year. Like for Miami to even get into the convo, like they're gonna like. I mean, it's gonna take 5 to 10 years for you know, like Virginia, right? Like it took Virginia what it took. 10 to 15, a championship, like for people to be like, okay, you're in the upper echelon. It took a lifetime. It's like when I was in school, Virginia was kind of creeping. They were creeping around in the shadows. And now 15 years removed, we could call them one of the top tier programs in the ACC.
So I don't mean to steer this conversation in this direction, but I'm thinking about like with how the Kansas job could theoretically open. We'll see what Bill Self's there is. And like Jay Lucas is probably going to be a candidate for a job like that at Kansas, depending on how things shake out. Is it just the Duke thing and why he wouldn't come up for Carolina? Because, like, he is a really, really good basketball coach, and I think he showed that already this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Carolina probably wants a more established coach. Sure. Like, if he did this for the next 5 to 7 years and it doesn't work out and he becomes one of – I mean, if he does it in Miami for the next 5 to 7 years, he will be one of – I don't think he – I mean, I even heard, like, look, like, the Heat are targeting him, like, hey, look, if he does well, the Heat are just going to pivot – over from Spoelstra, whenever he's done, and snap him up. So he's on the radar. But yeah, I don't know if he's done enough yet.
Yeah.
But I love what he's doing down there. I know the inner workings. I know the people on that staff. I know the front office people. Like, they're building something down there, and they don't have as much money as you would think.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, he's like, yeah. he crushed it with his evals again this year. It's like that's like when I start to think about him as like a potential candidate. And I agree. I didn't put him on the list for Carolina. I still think like I know Otzelberger's whatever his AD said he's not. I'll believe that again when I fully see that on paper. But Mark Byington, I think from Vanderbilt would be a better backup option, but maybe a smidge mm-hmm. more proven. But
Jay, I like Byington. That's a sneaky one right there.
Okay, so can we talk Byington real quick? Like yes. I was looking through it, Georgia Southern. The best time in Georgia Southern's entire basketball tenure, Mark Byington's been the head coach. Mm. Okay, so then he goes to James Madison. The best time in James Madison's ever that they've been a basketball program's best time, Mark Byington's head coach. Now they go to Vandy, best time that they've ever had, Mark Byington's head coach. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence. That's three different schools for their respective levels. He's outplayed it and taken them to the peak of their powers at, for what their program is worth. He's a killer. He is an absolute killer.
You know, I've been rethinking how I style the smallest spaces in my house this summer. Instead of stressing over what won't fit, I've been looking at tons of versatile styles from Bob's Discount Furniture that actually multitask. Whether you're working from home or hosting guests, take that Betty dining set, for example. When it's just me, it's a compact, space-saving setup with a super comfy Bobapedic seats. But it extends in a snap when company arrives. It comes in 4 fun colors, boasts over 1,500 five-star reviews, and at just $5.99 for a 7-piece set, you'll actually have a budget left for the dinner party. And if you love that retro chic vibe, they also have the Betty Bedroom Set featuring gorgeous felt-lined storage drawers and another 1,500 five-star reviews. Or if you just want to lounge, check out the Phantom Power Reclining Sofa. It's packed with cup holders, charging ports, and Bobapedic cushions without taking over your whole living room. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
And the guys he's rostered, like Jalen, McLaughlin, like those guys that he's got on his roster, like you saw what they could have been or could be. They've even got a kid, George Kimball, who's actually from Tampa. He was at Western Kentucky. He had surgery, but they got him in. They got him healthy, and he's gonna be like, "What world? Wait till you see this kid, right? Like, he's got some. He's got some sneaky guys there that you're like, you thought were like, okay, they're pretty good, and then he puts them in the system and you know develops them in a way, and now you're like, wow, these pieces fit together well.
I think he might be pound for pound like a top 10 coach in the country for what he is doing with his teams. That he just doesn't get paid like one, and he doesn't have the cachet like one, and he doesn't have the resume of like deep, deep tournament runs that makes him in that conversation. But like a pure, like, what is my roster and what have I squeezed out of it and made it into? Like, Byington's on the short list of team of guys that like would squeeze the absolute most out of his rosters. And he is a, like a self-described basketball junkie. Like, he's just obsessed with basketball. And I think you see that with some of the, you know, that type of offense that he runs. I think he's kind of ahead of the curve with some of those different stylistically things that he tries to do and kind of puts pressure on teams. And if you're Carolina and you're like, you kind of get to that point, you're like, if you kind of look at the Hubert tenure, you could argue that they've been a very reactive program in the last 5 years. And then Byington is very proactive. I think that could be something that could be a feather in his cap in how this, you know, this carousel shakes out.
And Vandy's, you know, last thing of this, Vandy's not the easiest school to, I mean, it's a tough school to get into. Like, you can't just recruit anyone, to be honest.
You could make a case it's the hardest job in the SEC, right?
Yes. Like, you can't just recruit anybody. Like, they'd have to be a certain caliber of kid and mentally as well. So, if you like what you're hearing, make sure to get the latest on the coaching search and transfer portal updates as the window opens on April 7th by subscribing to Target 24/7. The message boards are on fire, and you definitely want to know what's going on as it's happening. That's TarHill247.com for all the latest on Carolina hoops. Last but not least, TJ Osselberger. Now, that name picked up steam early. That when I first got the text, literally after we lost VCU game, I got a text from a former player that said, hey, look, this will be done by the weekend. Osselberger is at the top of the list. As far as viable candidates, they think they could just snatch, per se, quickly, without much, you know, red tape. Now he's saying, hey, look, I'm focused on Iowa State. I dug into it. His wife went there. I mean, he's an Iowa State guy through and through. Talk to me about TJ.
So TJ has a really close relationship with Iowa State's AD, JB Pollard, as well. So, like, that's another factor. Like, they're, like, tight. He doesn't have awesome money at Iowa State. And so I think on paper, I agree with you. $4 million buyout, well, that's no big deal. Doesn't have awesome money at Iowa State. Could theoretically go to Carolina, maybe triple his budget. That makes a lot of sense. Iowa State just lost their football coach to Penn State. North Carolina could do the same thing to their basketball coach. I think that all checks out. But I think that TJ's wired a little differently. And so I think that may be why there's a situation where he could be more open to stay. He recruits Wisconsin really, really well. Like, he is from there. And so he has like a pipeline to a bunch of Wisconsin talent over the years. Is it easier to get Wisconsin guys to go to Iowa State? Maybe. I don't know. But the other thing with TJ too is like, he's just like militaristic, I think is probably the nicest way to say it. You know, he wakes up at 4:59 every single morning because he doesn't want to wake up before 5 o'clock because he feels like he beats people to the alarm clock. His dad, I think, was in the Army. It's a very much of like a ritualistic type of boot camp type of approach for everybody on that entire roster and in the organization. So there, I think it could explain why he thinks Iowa State is such a good fit for him and his family at this moment. And if I'll take him at his word that he's staying there for now and take him at Pollard's word, because Pollard just tweeted yesterday that he's staying, staying at Iowa State. But at the same time, I do think that Carolina could triple the type of buying power he would have. And at some point, like, everybody has a price, and I'm just curious to see what TJ's would be.
You wonder, right, the Shaka Smart situation in Texas, right? Shaka gets to Texas. Everybody's like, oh, home run higher, but
it's a smart one.
Shaka's like, oh, my God, like, five-star steakhouses. I'm not the type of program I want to run. I can't get the type of kids because, I mean, there's NBA draft guys. These are bougie prospects, which you can be successful with them, but, you know, it's a different ball game. And when I say that, right, and UNC, Coach Williams said, listen, we stay at the nicest hotels. We used to go eat at a spot called Angus Barn before every road trip. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's this nice restaurant by the airport, or we eat at another steakhouse. Like, so, you know, that is what we were, and some coaches' styles don't necessarily fit with that type of, especially when you can leave. You couldn't leave in Carolina. You had to stick it out, but so maybe that could be a worry.
Don't mess with happy. right?
Yes.
Like what he has. Like, I think that could be fair too. But like from a pure basketball coach perspective, yeah, that dude can coach some basketball. Yeah. Like Mark Pope, I think, had the quote the other day where he could take five dudes out of Walmart and turn them into a top 25 defense. Like, it's probably true. Mm-hmm. Like the type, his defenses are so connected, like, yep, so connected. But like culturally wise, like, I just can't shake the feeling that like TJ at UNC just doesn't jive with me for some reason. Maybe, yeah, I'm way off, but like, it just, some of his, like, just the way it feels, it just doesn't seem like the right fit. But again, if they were able to convince him to come down, I do think that he would probably win a lot of basketball games, even if you would definitely have to adjust. Like the whole program would have to adjust to the TJ way of doing things, because he's probably going to do it his way or the highway.
Yeah, you wonder if he even wants that top five recognizable face in college basketball title for the rest of his career, you know, if he stays at Carolina. And it's funny because Matt Campbell was geared up to come to take the UNC job, and they hired Belichick. So it should be funny if Otzelberger was maybe about to come over and did come over, two Iowa State guys. But
John, can I get you real quick?
Yeah.
Who do you want? Like, who is your number one guy?
I love Nate Oates. I do.
I should have known that. I knew that. My bad.
Yeah, I love Nate Oates. I mean, obviously, this not really expected to show interest, but
why not?
Yeah, I listen. He's, people don't realize. I mean, I have a more like, you know, I know, you know, Pannone at Arkansas State, worked under him, so you know, I've got a really good glimpse into the program from an outward perspective. He doesn't have that much money, and he still fields this elite roster. He's in the Sweet 16. I think Carolina's style of basketball, I think the one thing that irks me is the step away from our brand of basketball, right? Run and gun, point guard, bigs. Now, I'm not saying you need that same style because the style is different, but I want a coach that's going to bring a up-tempo like the old days. Like, I felt like when I was playing at Carolina, everyone wanted to play like us. Everyone loved watching us play. Our style of play was so enjoyable. For me as a player, for one, just running dudes up and down the court, seeing guys cramp up. But also, like, that was the brand that Coach Williams, like, you know, like, come on, like, go. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I just love the style of play. I love the nuances, the three-point shooting. Like, and what he's done with not as much money as people think Alabama has. Like, can you imagine him with the Carolina budget and the Carolina brand on his chest? The type of dudes he could bring, like, he's getting guys to go to Tuscaloosa, and he's getting NBA guys. It's not like he's just fielding good college teams. He's got guys that are going to be lottery picks for the next two or three years. So that's my favorite guy, for sure.
Well, so the buyout for him drops after April 1st, so mm-hmm. 4 or 5 days from now. So that'll go from, I think, $18 million down to 10. Mm-hmm. Not nothing in this whole kind of conversation. I tend to agree with you. Like, I kind of wonder if Nate Oates' off-court antics are a little overblown to me.
Yeah.
Like, is it Nate Oates' fault that Aiden Holloway had 2 pounds of weed in his apartment?
Well, I think it's you are what you are, right? And when I say you are what you are, like, if you're at Alabama, right, you have to recruit a certain way. And when I say a certain way, not to recruit bad kids, Aiden Holloway's a really good kid. People don't know that. Aiden Holloway, I was shocked. He's a great kid. Blew my mind, right? Like, comes from a good family. Like, dad's people are super involved in his career. Like, one of the best kids I've kind of met when he was younger. So that threw me off. But you recruit what you can recruit, right? Like, if you're at LSU, you may have to recruit a kid that may not be recruited at Carolina, right? Like, it is what it is. So I think you give Nate Oates free reign to expand his recruiting. I don't think that happens, right? And Tuscaloosa is not Chapel Hill, and Chapel Hill is not Tuscaloosa. Environment matters as well, right? So I do think it's overblown, but Alabama, they ain't flinched. So that should change something.
I think it's overblown too. And I think that, like, if they got him, like, it would be a situation where, like, all right, we know we're gonna get awesome lead guards every year. We know we're probably going to recruit really good players and from the high school ranks. We're probably going to get guys from the portal if we need. Like, it just – I think they'd win. I think they'd win. And I like, I kind of think some of the off-court stuff has been more random than a Nate Oates problem, to be honest. Like, that's just kind of how I view it from the outside. So it would not surprise me at all if Tommy Lloyd decides to stay at Arizona, even though there's maybe some turbulence up top with him and in the AD, and Dusty decides to stay at Michigan, and suddenly Nate Oates starts to become a bigger name. That wouldn't surprise me at all, it kind of depending on how, you know, the top of the pecking order shakes out here.
Yeah. Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, you know, because I feel like Tommy and Dusty, right, they've done what they did, but they've done what they did with the highest level of resources.
No question.
Osselberger, Oates, Golden, I don't really know much about his situation, but I feel like Oates and Osselberger, like, have built things without the resources, and given the right money and situation, I mean, I think they could build a absolute powerhouse. I mean, even with Duke, like, I look at Shire, like, you know, I kind of know some of the things going over there. Like, did you see them walk out the tunnel? They got like 30 coaches. They got like 25 coaches, and I laughed at it, but like, that's how damn serious they are about basketball. Yeah. Right. So, you know, I think people need to look at that. If you want to, in this day and age, if you want to win, you've got to be serious, because now everyone has money. Can that Carolina on your chest? Yes. That could take you so far, but you know, it's not going to do what it did. Like, when I was in school, it was like, oh, Carolina, MJ, like, you know what? Clemson could say, listen, I'll give you 2.5 too, and you're going to play. So,
right. Yeah, my quick Golden point, like, I don't think Golden at Carolina makes a lot of sense to me. Like, I think he's kind of like top dog in the SEC. Kentucky has so much dysfunction right now with everything that's going on. I think Florida's resources are just as good or in that same neighborhood with Kentucky, to be honest. And to go from there to, oh, now I got to chase down Duke at Carolina, that just doesn't make sense to me. I just feel like it just makes too much sense for him to stay at Florida. And I understood why his name is in the conversation, but I also equally understood why Carolina is looking other directions.
Yeah, we'll save that for another day. But look, man, appreciate you for coming on, man. As always, love having you on. This is day two, so we'll see what happens. Hey, maybe something will shake, maybe not. I think, personally, by the end of the week, we'll go Sunday, Monday, somebody will kind of come into focus. So we'll see.
Enjoy the games this weekend, obviously. I think you might just be podcasting every day from here on out while we wait. Just
okay. Since we talk about it, all right, games today, right? Purdue, yep. Texas, talk to me.
Texas can't guard pick and rolls. Uh-huh. Purdue's pick and roll offense is one of the elite in college basketball. So I like Purdue. I think they can name their number. Okay. Maybe Texas can find different ways to score, but like, they're not that great of a 3-point shooting team either. You kind of have to beat Purdue over the top. I just think Texas is going to have a really hard time going band for band with that Purdue team. Like, playing drop coverage against Braden Smith, TKR, sounds horrible.
Okay. Nebraska, Iowa.
Complete rock fight. These teams have played two times before. I think for me, it comes down to turnovers for Iowa. They had a 20% turnover rate and a 25% turnover rate in the two games against Nebraska. I think Nebraska has easier ways to score than Iowa does. So I lean the Huskers, even though everybody and their mother thinks Ben McCollum is the sliced bread right now.
I was going to say, I lean Nebraska too on a neutral that against a team that they've turned over one out of every five possessions. That's usually doesn't work out well for you in the long run. Arkansas, Arizona.
I think Arkansas is going to be in real trouble.
Yes. Listen, man, this makes me feel good because, like, I feel the same way. I think Arizona might roll them.
Like, not to make this a betting podcast, but 87.5 was the team total for Arizona, and I have a hard time seeing Arkansas get stops. Arkansas doesn't rebound. Arkansas doesn't guard the ball. Arkansas doesn't protect the paint. That's a really bad strategy against Arizona, who is living in the paint at will and can score a 30 transition points if you let them. So I think Arizona kills them.
I see the Arizona Arkansas game kind of like when we used to play teams when we were playing. They were like, "Oh, we're not scared to run with them. They're not. We're not worried about their fast break. We're going to run right with them." You look up, it's 115-80. That's what's going to happen today, I think.
Does it remind you a little of like Duke Alabama last year, where it's just like, hey, like you want to run with Duke? Great.
Right? Like Arkansas, I think, leads the country or second in the country, 19 fast break. Arizona's 15. Like, you know, Darius Acuff, I don't know if the ankle's bothering, but he ain't been playing no defense.
And Arkansas is or Arizona has like six good defenders that they can throw at him. Like Ivan Karchenkov can guard him. Jaden Bradley can guard him. Braden Burries is enormous. They have a great back line. Like, I think they're going to wear him down. Now, also, Arkansas's bigs are soft and they foul a ton. So, like, I just think that they're going to be in foul trouble from the jump, and it's going to be a layup line for Arizona.
All right, this is the tough one. Illinois, Houston. What do you think about that one?
I lean Illinois in a slight upset. I think Illinois can space them out pretty well. And Illinois also has bigs who can pass, and Illinois crushes it on the offensive glass, an elite offensive rebounding team. You have to be awesome on the offensive glass against Houston. So I think in order to beat Houston, Houston just drills teams that are like really reliant on like pull-up jumpers, and they drill team that really want to score in transition. Illinois doesn't do any of those things. And my last point, like Illinois has done really well against two to the ball defensive coverage this year. Like anytime someone gets two to the ball, they're so big and they have so many passers and shooters that like the ball just starts popping and they get good looks. So I lean Illinois in a slight upset, although those Houston guards always, you know, terrify me.
Yeah, I mean, Houston's top heavy. They rely on their guards a lot. But for me, their rebounding percentage is 169th in the country. Illinois is number three offensive rebound in the country. And so people are like, well, Houston turns you over. Well, Arizona rebounds. Rebounds come a lot closer to the basket than turnovers most times. So,
and Illinois doesn't turn it over.
Yep. And Houston gives up a lot of threes. So, you know, if Illinois decides today is the day, it's going to get – I mean, they're going to have to protect the three-point line. But the size, Tugler, and Sacco always get into foul trouble, right, like in regular games.
Always.
So – I'm on the same page with you. I'm the same. We're
did we go 4-for-4?
Yeah, we're aligned. Like, and when I say aligned, like you said, you lean Illinois. I'm the same way. I like Arizona to roll. Nebraska is a better team, but you know, Ben McCollum is Ben McCollum, and I didn't know about the Purdue game, but I agree with you. Texas doesn't play defense, and that's why they have actually been. That's why they're in the Sweet 16. They've been defending, but I don't think people have just been hitting shots on them. That's what I
think. Can I push that back on that too? Yeah. One, they played NC State, who was like rolled over and dead for a long stretch. They got to play BYU, who doesn't have their second best offensive player, right? So like they caught guys at the right time too. Who else did they beat? Oh, Gonzaga, who didn't have Braden Huff. So like, you caught like three teams there that are like, you know.
And Gonzaga's shot it terrible. I mean, Gonzaga had a terrible game. I don't think Purdue shoot 50-some% from three at the moment. So we'll see. But look, thank you, man. That was good. I needed that little preview. I feel good about my picks today. So
yeah, let's get it rolling. Let's go 4-for-4.
Let's go 4-for-4. And as usual, as always, thanks for watching on YouTube and listening wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to check out TarHill247.com for the latest wall-to-wall coverage of Carolina athletics. See you next time.
Hello, and welcome to Pluto Phone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, just stream it for free on Pluto TV, where all your blockbuster favorites are landing all summer long. catch Anchorman, the legend of Ron Burgundy.
Fantastic.
The Matrix Trilogy.
Welcome to the real world.
Mean Girls.
Shut up.
Titanic.
I'm the king of the world.
And so much more. For showtimes, press nothing. They're free 24/7.
That is so fetch.
On Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.